Well, this morning I want to begin with a question, and that is, when I say the word religion or religious, do you look at that or do you feel positive or negative? Religion. Well, what kind of vibes do you get when you hear the word religion? You know, some people really look at religion in a very negative sense. They look at religion as very negative. For instance, Richard Dawkins. You know Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist? He writes about his feelings of religion. He says, many of us at one time saw religion as harmless nonsense. Beliefs might lack all supporting evidence, but we thought if people need a crutch for consolation, where's the harm? And then he adds, September 11th changed all that. He said, we used to look at it as just harmless nonsense, religion. If you guys need a crutch, what's the harm? But look what religion done. A bunch of religious people flew planes into the Trade Center towers. And he lumps all religions together and says, they're not only harmless, they're dangerous. He has a very negative view of religion. It's kind of like what Karl Marx, remember what he said about religion? Religion is the what? The opium of the people. And then if you continue on with that quote, what he says, if you really want people to be happy, I mean, not a superficial happiness, real happiness, get rid of all religion. How about that? That's what he says. That's kind of what John Lennon, the Beatle, John Lennon said in his song. You remember that song, Imagine? In that song, he says, imagine a world with no religion. No heaven above, just sky. No hell beneath. No religion. And he said, you know what would happen? He said, man, I'm just a dreamer. But I can imagine it. And you know what we'd have? He says, peace. Get rid of religion and you will have peace. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that have a very negative view of religion. But there's others that have a positive view of religion. One of those people was one of our founding fathers, George Washington. George Washington, in his farewell address, wrote these words. He said when he wrote in his farewell address, he said, religion and morality are the indispensable supports of political prosperity. Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. Washington said, you know, if we're going to have a democratic republic that's going to last, we must have religion and morality. And to think, he said, to think that we can have morality without religion, it's just nonsense. You can't. So Washington said, we need religion. He had a positive view of religion. A lot of people do. We know that because there's millions of people right now, this day, sitting in places like this that are practicing religion. A lot of people think religion is important. Others think it's just nonsense and even dangerous. So when I say religion or religious, what do you think? Is it positive or is it negative? Or maybe is it both? Is there some religion that's bad religion and some religion that's good religion? Some religion that's worthless religion, and some religion that's worthwhile and even beneficial religion. Well, I'll tell you what, I think that's true. I think both is true. And we're going to find out about that this morning in our text. So I want you to take your Bibles, open them up to James chapter 1. Because in James chapter 1, he talks about religion. Worthless religion and worthwhile. Good religion. Good religion. Now, as you turn there, let me remind you, and some we have some guests with us this morning. James, the book of James, was written by Jesus' half-brother. James, the half-brother of Jesus. It is the earliest writing of the New Testament. Earliest writing of the New Testament. It's a very practical book. It's called the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's called the Gospel in Shoe Leather. It's a very, very practical book. This morning, we're all the way down to verses 26 and 27, where James talks about worthless religion and pure and undefiled religion. Now, let me read these two verses. You listen. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to stay unstained from the world. Now, let's pray. Lord, we bow before you today and we ask you to speak to us through these two verses of Scripture. And Lord, help us not to be ineffectual hearers, but effectual doers of what you have to say. Speak, Lord, as we listen to you. Help us to get down into our hearts and out into our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't forget. Remember what I told you last week? Remember I told you I was going to ask you? Remember our assignment from last week? Read the Word each day, pray it back to God, and then share it with somebody. Okay, I told you I was going to ask, so I got to ask. If you did that, would you raise your hand? Okay. If you did it most of the week, would you raise your hand? A couple more. Okay. Listen, we just don't want to read God's Word. Just don't want to hear it today. I mean, if it comes in this ear and goes out that ear, it doesn't make any difference, right? We don't want to be an ineffectual hearer. We want to receive it into our hearts, and we want to put it to practice. I praise God. Before I got started in the week, I was up at the hospital for Dave's surgery, and two brothers and a sister were there. And they came to me and said, "We read the Word this morning, Pastor. We prayed it back to God. Now we're sharing it with you." And then they had the audacity to say, "Did you do it, Pastor?" And I hadn't read the Word of God. It was early in the morning, and I hadn't read the Word. I said, "I didn't yet. I did last night, and I shared what I had from Sunday evening. But I said, I'll read it today, and I'll share it with somebody." But listen, don't, you know what? This is God's Word. We don't want to just, you know, read it and look in the mirror and then go away and not make the corrections. Amen? Amen. Come on. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, what does these two verses have to say about religion? What makes good religion? I want to give you four things that make good religion today. You can put them down on you have that little outline in your bulletin. I think four things that make good religion. Number one, good religion is based on a personal relationship. Good religion based on a personal relationship. First of all, before we get started, we need to define what James is talking about here when he says religion or religious. Term religious in verse 26, if any man thinks himself religious. And then in verse 27, and he mentions pure and undefiled religion. Those two words come from the same root. And they mean religious in the sense of external observances of public worship. which include church attendance, worship, singing, giving, prayer, serving in church. This word was used for the outward practice in service of a God. So we are talking about, listen, what we're doing here today. Today, right now, you're being religious. You got up, you got in your car, you got dressed. Well, you got dressed first. Then you got in your car. You came here. You sang. You took communion. You're being religious. And you know what? Let me say something. That's good. Amen. That is good. Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of yourself together as is the manner of some. You know, some people that say, they get up on Sunday morning and say, think we ought to go to church? If you're a Christian, that's what you do. Amen. That's what you do. That's what you want to do. Yes. You don't have to do it. You want to do it. Amen. That's religion. You come and worship and sing and give and serve. And see, but good religion, listen, is based on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All of the religious activity that we go through should, must flow from our relationship with Jesus. Yes. You see, it has to flow out of that relationship. I went out 2 weeks ago. I went out to visit our dear sister, Jackie Steele, out in Alliance, out at the nursing home. Jackie's in her 90s. I think this October she's going to be 94? 95. 95, excuse me. Don't want to miss them. Those years are important. 95. And if you know Jackie, she radiates Christ. She just, her face shines for Jesus. And I go out there to bless her, and I'm the one that gets the blessing. But I was talking to Jackie, and she said, Pastor, every day I read my Bible. And people come in my room, and they look at me, and they say, boy, Jackie, you're really religious. And she said, and I tell them, no, I'm not. I know Jesus. I have a personal relationship. There's a point there. There's a point there. She's not going through the motions. The going through these motions issue forth from her relationship with Christ. She knows the Lord. It's based on a personal knowledge of Jesus, personal knowledge of Christ. I was coming back from Halifax to Toronto, and I shared, I think, last week about the young man, Stephen. I got a chance to share Christ with for 2 hours and 15 minutes. But he looked at me, and he said, I want you to know, Les. He said, I'm not religious. I don't like religion. And the way he was describing it, I said, Stephen, I don't like religion either. But I'll tell you, a personal relationship is out of this world. I love relationship. I love knowing Jesus, and got a chance to share with him. See, good religion is based on that relationship with Christ. When you get saved, and then you come to church, then you go to worship, then you sing. You sing. Amen. You sing. You give. You serve the Lord. Why? Not because we have to. It is a joy. It's a joy that comes from inside. Amen? I mean, we want to be here. I mean, people think we're nuts. They're probably right, some cases. But you know what? I might be nuts. I might be a nut, but I'm screwed to the right bolt. Right? Amen. I'm going to tell you, folks, we do this out of that relationship that we have with Christ. And religion, apart from personal relationship, you know what it is? It's worthless, and even more than worthless, it's deceiving. Religion outside or apart from relationship, it's worthless. It's ritual. It's dead ritual. Religion, apart from relationship, you know what it is? It's man's way of trying to get to heaven. It's man's way of trying to work themselves into favor with God. or in favor with other men sometimes. But it's worthless. You can go to church all your life and not be saved. You don't get saved by going to church. Just like you don't get married by going to weddings. You can go to 100 weddings and not be married. Because you don't get married by going to weddings. You get married by making a commitment to a person. And you get saved by making a commitment to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get saved. But all the religion in the world will not save you. If you don't have that personal relationship, you might as well stay home Sunday morning and go to St. Mattress. You might as well, because it's religion without relationship is just ritual. It's just going through the motions. And it will not save anyone. It's worthless. But it's more than worthless. It's deceiving. You know, Satan loves religion without relationship. Because when you've got the religion without the relationship, many people think, I'm okay. Look, I go to church every week. I sing the songs. I was baptized when I was a child. I went through confirmation class. I take communion. I'm okay. And they're lost. The hardest people to share Christ with are religious folk. Am I right? Tell me, am I right? Give me some feedback. Come on. The hardest people are the churchgoers. My opinion, religion will keep more people out of heaven than any other thing. Because it's deceiving. We go through the motions. And we think, I'm okay. This gets me in right standing with God. And it doesn't. You see, folks, we have an example of this in Scripture. That it's probably, I think, the best example of a religious man. And if religion could get you to heaven or get you in right standing with God, this guy would have been golden. His name was Nicodemus. You remember? If he would have had a nickname, his nickname would have been Mr. Religious Dude. That's what his nickname would have been. Because this guy had religion coming out his ears. He was of the conservative religious bent. He believed in the Old Testament scriptures. He had memorized vast portions of the Old Testament. When the church doors were open, when God's house was open, he was there. He would have got the perfect pin, attendance pin, for going to church. And he was not only a teacher in Israel, it says he was the teacher. I mean, he had his doctorate degree in religious stuff. And one night, he came to Jesus. And he said, good teacher, we know. You're from God, because no one could do the things that you do if they weren't from God. And Jesus, I wish you could, don't you wish you could be there in certain cases? I wish I could have seen this. But Jesus looked into his religious eyes and said, truly, truly, verily, verily, amen and amen. Unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. You religious man, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus said, I'm an old man. I'm almost as old as Pastor Les. I'm old. Well, how can I be born again? I crawl up into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly, amen and amen, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you will not enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. I'll tell you what, if religion could save, I'll tell you what, Nicodemus would have been golden. He would have been at the front row in heaven. But religion can't save. Religion, apart from relationship, is just dead ritual. Amen. That's all it is. Now, so I've got to ask, are you born again? Are you born again? Yes. You know, you've asked people sometimes, are you born again? And they say, I've been a church member for 30 years. I've been baptized. I serve on the board. And all I say is all the time, that's wonderful. Are you born again? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Because all good religion flows right out of that relationship with Christ. We come in here to worship and we come in to praise and we all want to sing and we sing out because why? Because it comes from inside. That's good religion. Good religion is based on a personal relationship. Secondly, good religion leads to positive speech. Positive speech. You see verse 26 there? James writes, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Do you know, folks, religion, good religion, has a positive effect on our speech, on what comes out of our mouth. When a person has good religion, based on a relationship with Christ, it changes this. I've said this before, but a great study, as you read through the Bible, as you read through the book of Romans, note the word mouth in the book of Romans. It's a real interesting study. In Romans 3:14, it talks about the unconverted mouth. The mouth of the unbeliever. You know what it says? Bitterness and cursing fill his mouth. Bitterness and cursing. But then you move on to Romans 10, 9 and 10, to a person that's getting saved. And you remember what it says? If we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So how do we get saved? We believe and we confess. We profess Christ. So it's with the mouth. Beforehand, full of bitterness and cursing. Then God's grace gets in and gives us that faith, that grace to repent and faith to believe, and we profess Christ with the mouth. And then you look at Romans 15, 5 and 6, and that shows you the mouth of the believer. It says, now the God of perseverance and encouragement, unite our hearts together, that with one voice we may with one mouth glorify our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you get saved, what happens? He changes our mouth. Before, it was bitterness and cursing. But after you get saved, you start praising the Lord. Start praising Jesus. I'll tell you what, I saw that when I got saved. I'll tell you what, the night I got saved, which was August 26, 1970, I lost 90% of my vocabulary. I really did. I don't like to say this, but I had a foul mouth. I had a foul mouth. And I'll tell you what, that was one of the sins. Now, there are other sins that I struggled with and I still struggle with today. But that sin of bitterness and cursing coming out of your mouth, God changed the night I got saved. And I started to praise God. You know, when you get saved, another thing that comes out of your mouth, you start sharing Jesus Christ. You start talking about the Lord to people. Paul said it right. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first, then also to the Greek. He said, I believed, therefore I spoke. I'll tell you what, when you get saved, you want to tell people about Jesus. That happened to me. And I want to tell people about Jesus because he changes our mouth. Now, the mouth's changed. Why is the mouth changed? Ah, there you go. Jesus said what? The mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. And when you get a heart transplant, when Jesus comes into your life and gives you a new heart, it changes what comes out of here. It's positive speech now. It's positive speech. But not only does he change what comes out of your mouth, he changes what doesn't come out of your mouth. Come on, give me an amen. Come on. Somebody wake up. He changes what doesn't come out of your mouth. You see what he says here? If anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue. James uses the metaphor of bridling the tongue. Why do we put bridles on a horse?
Make them obey.
Control them, right? Control them. And he's already exhorted us, slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Watch what comes out. I read a quote. I thought this was interesting. It said, you can't believe half of what you hear. But you can repeat it. I'm going to tell you. Folks, this is a real problem in many churches. You know what we need to do? Can I have a picture up here, Jacob? We need to bridle the tongue. You see, when Jesus comes... Gossip, critical speech, complaining. You know what? When you have good religion, it bridles your tongue. It controls what goes out, but it controls what doesn't go out. And I'll tell you what we need this. We need some good religion so that we have positive speech. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, listen, bridle my tongue. In fact, I want to give you a verse, and I would encourage you to memorize this verse. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Memorize that. Put that as your screensaver on your iPhone. Put that by all your telephones or whatever. Lord, guard my mouth. And good positive religion has a positive effect on the tongue. Good religion leads to positive speech. Number three, good religion leads to practical service. Verse 27a, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress. Pure and undefiled, good religion, pure, undefiled, clean religion. From God's point of view, in his sight, is to visit orphans and widows in their distress. The orphans and widows were the helpless, hopeless, and many times homeless people of that day. These were the low people the outcasts, orphans, and widows. You know, I thought about this. We live in a busy day. Busy, busy, busy. Everybody's busy, right? Isn't it true? We have all these time-saving gadgets, and we have no time. We're all busy. But are we too busy to see the people that need help? Are we too busy to see the homeless or the helpless? They're all around us. They're all around us. Do we see them? Do we care? Do we reach out? You know, it's interesting here. It doesn't say, you know, minister to them when they come to your church. It says, go visit them. Make it a habit of going out. You see what good religion does? Good religion gets out of the sanctuary, out into the street. Good religion gets out of the pew, into the public, and looks for people that need help. The hopeless, the helpless, the homeless. Good religion in the sight of God is compassionate to the poor, to the sick, to the disadvantaged. Good religion leads to practical compassion and service. And in the eyes of God, good religion is practical compassion. Jesus equated the way we treat helpless people to the way we treat him. You remember? He said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. You've done it to me. And I'm convicted. I don't know about you. I get so busy, I forget. I thank God that there are people in this church that are going out to the helpless and homeless and they're ministering. Praise God. We need to be behind that. Amen? We do. But you know, it's interesting. Why do we do it? We do it for the good, but we do it for God's glory. Amen. But guess what? When we do that, who gets blessed? They get blessed, but we get the biggest blessing. Amen. We get blessed when you go out and just look for somebody and minister to them. You get blessed. I read a story about a pastor who preached a sermon one Sunday on heaven. The next day, the next morning, one of the wealthy members of his church, he was going down the street, and one of the wealthy members of his church stopped him and said, Pastor, I want to just tell you, I really enjoyed that sermon you did on heaven. That was a great sermon, Pastor, but one thing you didn't answer. He said, well, what's that? He said, you didn't tell us where heaven is. He said, oh, I am so glad you asked me that. I'd love to tell you. He said, you see that hill there? He said, up on the top of that hill, there is a member of our church. She's a widow. She has two children. And right now, she has no food. She's sick in bed, and the two children are sick in another bed. And if you will go and you will buy groceries for that woman and you will take them up, knock on the door, and you will say, you know, the Lord shared with me that I'm to bless you and I want to give you these groceries. And then go in and get a Bible and read to her Psalm 23 and then get down on your knees and pray. Brother, if you don't see heaven, I'll pay for the groceries. The next day, the guy met the pastor and said, Pastor, I want you to know, I spent 15 minutes in heaven yesterday, last night. As sure as I'm talking to you, that's where heaven was. And I'm going to tell you, pure. That's, you know what that is? That's pure and undefiled religion. That's good religion. Because good religion leads to practical service. Number four and last, good religion leads to personal purity. Personal purity. Pure and undefiled religion is this in the sight of God, that to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep, listen, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I don't need to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you it. This world's a cesspool. This world is just a moral cesspool. Linda and I, when we were up in Canada, we drove over to New Brunswick and went to the Bay of Fundy. You know about the Bay of Fundy? It's one of the natural wonders of the world. The Bay of Fundy has the greatest tidal changes. The tide rises and falls 56 feet. 56 feet. It's amazing. But you can actually, when the tide is out, you can go down and walk on the ocean floor. So we went to the it's called Hopewell Rocks. And then they have these big, you've seen them, some, they're screensavers with these rocks on them. They're called flower pots, and they're just right out in the middle of the bay. But when the tide goes out, they're just these big rock formations. And you look down, and it's about 100 feet of stairs. So I went down, I went down those stairs, and I was able to walk out on the ocean floor. Do you know what it was like? What do you think was on the ocean floor? Sand, mud, seaweed. It was pretty messy down there. I took my old tennis shoes. Because it got all over my shoes, and I wore shorts, so it didn't get on my pants. But I'm out there and just walking all over. I'll tell you what, it was fun. But it was a mess. And I think, you know what? When we walk out in the world, it is a slimy, muddy mess. Amen. That's what it is. And to try to keep unspotted the best of people, the best of Christians, it's hard to keep unspotted from the world. Yes. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what good religion will do. Good religion will help you to stay unspotted from the world. I thought of two examples of this, and then we'll quit here. But I thought two biblical examples of this. The first one I thought of was Joseph. You remember when Joseph was sold by his brothers down into slavery in Egypt? You remember the story, and I won't go into all the details, but he sold to Potiphar. And Potiphar, you know what Potiphar saw? The Lord was with Joseph. Boy, I hope people can see that in my life. Hope that people can see that. The Lord's with them. He could see that. So he put Joseph as steward over his whole house and just trusted everything with Joseph. And you remember how Mrs. Potiphar had eyes for Joseph. And when Joseph was there, the husband was away, she said, she tried to seduce him, didn't she? She said, come to bed with me. And Joseph said, you know what? My master has put everything under my trust. He has not withheld anything from me except you, because you're his wife. How could I do this great evil and sin against God? I'm going to tell you, Joseph had some good religion. He did. He knew the root of sin. The root of all sin It's offense against an infinite holy God. Amen. He knew that. And she would come to him day after day after day. No way. And the Lord was with Joseph. He had some good religion. That's what helped him. He had good religion. He had good beliefs and good religion. And he stayed pure. Another one I think of. Who do you think I'm thinking of?
Daniel.
Yeah, that, you know. Daniel's hijacked. And he goes and he's taken to Babylon. And he's chosen to be one of the ones that were going to go into the king's service. So they put him in and educate him. They're trying to educate him in the ways of the Babylonians. They're brainwashing him. And Daniel, young teenager, could have said, well, you know what? When in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do. He was probably there, probably separated from his parents. He was there as a prisoner. He could have just went along, go with the program. You know, go with the world, go with the program. But Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He said, you know what? No what? No compromise. No compromise. How did he do that? How did he do that? I'll tell you what, his parents, and I don't know about this, but his parents saw that young man had good religion. Good religion. And good religion helped him to be courageous enough to say, I purpose in my heart not to defile myself. I'll not defile myself. I'll not be spotted by this world. Praise God. You know what that reminds me of? And I'm going to give you this story and we're going to quit. It reminds me of a little animal called the white ermine. In North Europe, they had the animals, the white ermine. And they're very beautiful. The white fur, very highly valued for its white fur. How they used to hunt these animals were that they would go and they would find the den of the white ermine, its home. And they would wait for the white ermine to leave their den. Then they would take tar, and they would take tar and they would put it all around the entrance of the white ermine's den. Then they would set the dogs loose. When the white ermine would hear the barks, the yelps of the dogs, it would hightail it for its den, for its home. But on arriving at its den, it would see the tar. And rather than defile his beautiful white fur, he would turn and face savage dogs because it had that much commitment. Rather face the jaws and the bites of savage dogs than to tarnish his purity. That's what good religion will do for us. When we worship God, when we have religion that's based on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and when we have religion that gets down in our heart and it affects our positive speech, and when we have religion that affects our practical service, and we have a religion that affects our personal purity, that's good religion. That's the kind of religion I want. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, help us to have that kind of religion. Lord, we just thank you and praise you today for the word of God. Lord, maybe somebody here today has had religion without relationship. Would you help them right now to call on you? Maybe they might even want to come forward to the front of the church and say, I want Jesus in my heart. Holy Spirit, work that, I pray. Maybe somebody here today, as we all probably, struggles with their tongue and needs to have the Holy Spirit bridle their tongue. Help them to make that commitment today. I think I need to make the commitment to look to do more practical service. I help us not to be too busy that we forget the helpless, the hopeless, and the homeless, but get out of the sanctuary, into the streets, out of the pew, into the public. Help us, God. And Lord, help us. Maybe someone is struggling too with personal purity. Help us to dare to be a Daniel today. Lord, we want to have good religion that's pure and undefiled in your sight. Lord, bless us that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name I pray.